So this is the fourth day of our discussions. The first day we said something about Akura Samvad, the visit of Akura to Braj, and what happened, what he said to Nanda Maharaj, what happened when Mother Yashoda heard that he'd come to take Krishna away, and how Krishna left. And then the second day we heard something about Mathura Prabhas, the separation in Mathura, and what happened there, and why it was that Krishna didn't return the Braj, even though he wanted to. And then yesterday, we heard something about Dwarka Prabhas. And the second day, we heard something about the separation, the feelings, the very, very painful feelings of the Brajvasis and Radharani. And then yesterday, we heard something about Krishna's feelings and his mood there in Dwarka, and how Satyabhama and Rukmini became enchanted hearing about the glories of Srimati Radharani, and how they requested Krishna, "We'd like to meet this Radharani. Could you please arrange for that?" And Krishna explained to them, "This is very, very difficult. It's not an easy thing to see Radharani. Even Krishna, he's desiring to see Radharani, and his desire is not always fulfilled." He said, "But there's one hope, and that is there's a Surya Grahana coming, the solar eclipse, and all the residents of Bharatvarsh, this pious place known as India, will be going to Kurukshetra to take bath. And the Brijbasis will also be going." Those descriptions are from a very rare book that we found, we've been looking for many years, called Vrindavan Lilamrita by Nanda Kishore Goswami. He lived a few hundred years ago. He was a mahant at Nityananda Vat there in near the Jamuna in Vrindavan. And a very elevated Vaishnava, and they say he was having some Lila Spurtis, and he wrote them down in the form of this book known as Vrindavan Lilamrita, which is full of verses from the Bhagavatam. So that description, that part of the description yesterday was from that book, and we'll also read something again from his description today. And then from there we went to Jiva Goswami's Gopal Champu and a little bit of the Bhagavatam. And Jiva Goswami described that just at the same time, coincidentally, in Braj, there was a meeting amongst all the Brijbasis, and everyone was feeling so much separation, they said, "We can't tolerate this anymore. We must meet Krishna somehow." And Nanda Maharaj, and he said, "There's one hope. We can all go to Kurukshetra. But then who will take care of the cows if we go?" Just at that moment, a messenger arrived from Dwarka with a letter in his hand from Krishna. And the letter said briefly that, "Father, I haven't been able to return to Braj, but I haven't forgotten you. It's been very difficult because so many enemies are there who are harassing us. And if I return, then they'll attack Braj with their armies. That's no problem for Krishna, but how will he defend the cows? And the cows are Krishna's life. So, but Father, I have some idea. We can meet at Kurukshetra. And because the cows are my life, they should stay behind. And although they want to come, my dear cowherd boyfriends, they can stay behind with those cows." And in this way, Krishna did something very tricky, because those cowherd boys were the same boys who were married to the Braj Gopis. And so he kept them away. Yesterday, someone asked me a nice question from the heart, that how is it, it seems a kind of cruelty. Certainly those cowherd boys, their life and soul was Krishna. We heard yesterday in such a beautiful drama. How could they tolerate not going to Kurukshetra to see Krishna? And how could Krishna be so seemingly cruel to give them such an instruction? Krishna's not cruel. Krishna's dealings are always loving. But Krishna had a higher consideration than even the feelings of the cowherd boys. And that was the feelings of the gopis. And the cowherd boys themselves, it's a wonderful display of their love that they get more satisfaction bringing pleasure to Krishna than they get to see Krishna themselves. So they were happy with that. So everyone in Braj became very excited. Did you hear? We're going to Kurukshetra for some bath. Why do we want to go to Kurukshetra? Why should we leave Braj? No, no, no. Nanda Nandan is there. Huh? Krishna, he's going to be there when they see him. Oh, oh. And so word very quickly spread throughout Braj. And all the Brajbasis, they started to come. Atharim avalokitam chiraya spuradurasam brajavasinam jananam noyana salila shikta romam ashankur mahasa nikalakshitosh danam. At that time, the chests of all the people of Braj begin to quiver in anticipation of seeing Krishna. Their hairs stood on end and their garments became drenched with tears. Muhu api radha shabda kari kampa staputita varna vibhaga sanskriti nam vibhida bidda vichintana bigata spuradurudat kriti varna bhavitanam. They had a very difficult time speaking to each other because their teeth were chattering. Their bodies were trembling. Their words were unintelligible. And they were very, very confused because so many thoughts were coming in their mind. Will Krishna be happy to see us? Will he look at us? What will I say to him when I see him? Maybe I'll just grab him and we'll bring him back to Vrindavan. Maybe he won't come. What will happen? In this way, so many conflicting thoughts were coming in their minds and they were completely bewildered. Externally, they seemed like realized souls acting very calmly. But internally, everything was churning and churning. Vasana sayana vishmiti vaprapati akrisha vapusham akrisha sabhava bhajam alam apari chataya janarapi swam paririta vadvir urakritan ritanam. The bodies of the Brijbasis had become very thin due to not eating. My Guru Maharaj, she once said that the Braj gopis had become so thin from not eating that the rings on their little fingers had become bangles on their wrists. They weren't sleeping. They were always thinking of Krishna. And he said that even those persons who somehow disrespected Krishna, who didn't like him, who is that? Who in Braj disrespects Krishna? Jatila and Kutila. Even they were very excited. Yes, we'll go to Kurukshetra. Not to see that Krishna, but to take a bath. Even Jatila and Kutila were excited to see Krishna. Katam api kuru bhumim agatanam sapari nishamya sadesha tamurari.
Sukasata bhara bhara parafashan nachalitam asu sasaka sakamungai. Somehow or other, they went to Kurukshetra. And Jiva Goswami, he describes the Braj Gopis. Te brahmi milur abita punar un mililur uchama mucharati chelur atashramahu yatta kurobu viharim drisalabdam utka amini re brajaramakshana matra kopam. When they were going to Kurukshetra, the gopis had their eyes closed. And then sometimes they would open their eyes. They didn't want to see anything but Krishna. And then suddenly they would faint, unconscious. And then they would again get up and they would begin running and going very, very fast. Then they would cry for them. A moment seemed like a kalpa as they were going on their way. And as they were coming near Kurukshetra, someone came and they gave a message to Krishna. Hey, Dwarkadish, our dear Lord, there's some village people coming from Braj. And we see they have so many bulls who are moving in front of them. And when Krishna heard this, hundreds of types of happiness inundated his body, just like elephants who are having a fight. And Krishna became stunned in ecstasy. And although he wanted to run to greet the Brijbasis, he couldn't move. Krishna shisurabhyo bharena pushtim tatabhi krishtim gamita brajesaha nadishta desi vivishuya danta virajate rajaganai sa krishnaha. As they were coming closer, Nanda Maharaj and the other Brijbasis suddenly, they could smell the scent of Krishna's body. Even though they couldn't see him. And all of them became stunned with ecstasy and began to weep. They couldn't see Krishna because Krishna was there with his royal retinue, all of his servants, so many different people. Srila Prabhupada, he describes this in Krishna book. He says that all the members of the Yadu dynasty were naturally very beautiful. Yet on this occasion, when they appeared duly decorated with gold necklaces and flower garlands, dressed in very valuable clothing, and properly armed with their respective weapons, their natural beauty and personalities were 100 times enhanced. The members of the Yadu dynasty came to Kurukshetra in their gorgeously decorated chariots, which resembled the airplanes of the demigods, and which were pulled by big horses that moved like the waves of the ocean. Some Yadus rode on sturdy, stalwart elephants that moved like the clouds in the sky. Their wives were carried on beautiful palanquins by beautiful men whose features resembled those of the Vidyadharas. The entire assembly looked as beautiful as an assembly of the demigods of heaven. When they were coming, the entire earth was shaking. From hundreds of miles away, you could see the reflection, blinding your eyes, of the sunshine falling on all the gold ornaments and things as they were coming. They had solid gold chariots, which were full of various weapons and ornaments, and golden ornaments, golden things. And meanwhile, the residents of Vrindavan were coming. There were no elephants, just the bulls who were running. And they had very simple wooden chariots. There was no golden ornaments on the back of them, just gobar, cow dung, which they were collecting every night so they'd have something to cook with, to make their offerings to Krishna. Prabhupada goes on. After arriving in Kurukshetra, the members of the Yadu dynasty took their bath ceremoniously with self-control, as enjoined in the Shastras, and they observed fasting for the whole period of the eclipse in order to nullify the reactions of their sinful activities. Since it is a Vedic custom to give in charity as much as possible during the hours of the eclipse, the members of the Yadu dynasty distributed many hundreds of cows in charity to the Brahmins. All those cows were fully decorated with nice dress and ornaments. The special feature of these cows was that they had golden ankle bells and flower garlands on their necks. So many different people were coming to Kurukshetra. It's described in the Bhagavatam, in the 82nd chapter, which describes something about the meeting in Kurukshetra between Krishna and the Vrijvasis. The 23rd to 26th verses describe Bhishmo Dronombika Putro Gandhari Sasuta Tata Sadhara Pandava Kunti Sanjayo Vidura Kripaha Kunti Bojo Virajascha Bhishmako Nagna Jin Mahan Purujit Drupada Salyo Drishtaketu Sakashirat Dhamagosho Vishalaksho Maitilo Madrakekahaya Yudamanyu Susarmacha Sasuta Balikadayaha Rajanyo Recha Rajendra Yudhisthiram Anubrataha Shriniketam Vapushore Sastrikam Vikshavishmitaha. All these different kings who came there were all followers of Yudhisthira because he defeated them. And it describes all the different persons who were present. Please listen. Bhishma Dev was there. Dronacharya, Dhritarashtra, his wife Gandhari, and all of her sons, headed by Duryodhan. The Pandavas were there, along with their wives. Kunti Devi was there. Sanjaya, Vidura, Kripacharya, Kunti Bhoja, Virata, Bhishmaka, the great Nagnajit. Purujit was there. Drupada, the kind king who gave shelter to the Pandavas. Salya, the great friend of the Pandavas, who, by some trick of Duryodhan, later fought on the side of the Kauravas. Drishtaketu, Kasiraj, Damagosh, Vishalaksha, Maitila, Madra, Kekaya, Yudhamanyu, Susarma, Balika, with all his associates and sons, and many, many other kings. All of them had arrived at that place. And what was their purpose in going there? They wanted that they'll get some punyalabha. Punyalabha, some sukriti, some pious benefit by taking bath in Samanta Panchaka, the lakes created by Parshuram at the time of the Surya Grahan, the solar eclipse. But the members of the Yadu dynasty, that wasn't their purpose. They weren't interested in any punyalabha. They came there. Krishna no bhaktir asviti. Their prayer was, may we have bhakti to Krishna. There was a difference in their mood. But there was a difference in the mood of the Vrijvasis. The Vrijvasis didn't pray for any punya. The Vrijvasis didn't even pray for bhakti to Krishna. Their prayer, Shama Sundarera, Chandravadana, Tanira, Eka Falak Darshana. If we can just get one moment's darshan of Shamsundar. That was their desire. We don't care even if we get bhakti. Never mind that. We just want to see Krishna. And is he happy? That was the desire of the Brijbasis. So, when Krishna and Balaram heard that the residents of Vrindavan arrived, an amazing thing happened to them. They reverted to their Gopavesh. They gave up all their ornaments and crowns and weapons. Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, won't understand this kind of dress. We'll dress as cowherd boys. There's a story sometimes we tell, which is from a very little-known book called the Prabhas Kanda, which some people say is part of the Skanda Purana, which describes a meeting that Krishna had with the Brijbasis in a place known as Prabhas, and how Mother Yashoda came there with Nanda Maharaj and met with Devaki and others. It's a very similar mood. Someone was asking me about this story yesterday. It's a very similar mood to the meeting in Kurukshetra. And we were asked if we were going to tell this story today. We won't. It's not actually part of Kurukshetra Leela, although the Leela is a very similar one because they were meeting in a very opulent place. Krishna and Balaram, their minds were melting because they wanted to serve all the Brijbasis. But they were so stunned in ecstasy that they couldn't move quickly. And they saw there's a problem here. We have all these different kings who are here. And the Brijbasis are also here. This is Rasabhas. This is some conflicting mellow. They won't feel comfortable. Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda and others, they won't feel comfortable with all these kings. So they called for all those kings. Maharaj! We've made a very nice, opulent camp for you over here. All of you, please go and take your places there. And we'll keep these Brijbasis over here in this separate place because they're just villagers. And you're all very great kings. Krishna was saying like that externally, but his real purpose was that he wanted to be able to meet with the Brijbasis in private, without all these other kings and opulent people who are around who won't understand. It'll disturb the mellow. And to those Brijbasis, he told them that the reason why I had to keep some separation here is because if my enemies saw that I'm also treating you with the same respect that I'm giving to these kings, then they may attack you. So we're doing like this. But his real internal purpose was that he wanted to meet with them in a private place. Krishna and Balaram went to see Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. And when they went there, Jiva Goswami, he describes that Nanda Maharaj, when he saw Krishna and Balaram, his body began to shake. And tears begin to cascade down his face. And he began to cry in a choked voice and a very unsteady mind. And although Krishna and Balaram wanted to run and embrace their father, some other people were present there. Vasudeva and Devaki were there. Kunti Devi was there. Kunti Devi had some different talks with Vasudeva and some of the members of the Yadu dynasty. Many different discussions took place in Kurukshetra. Our time is very short, and we want to hear about the Brijbasis. So I won't go in that direction. Please forgive me. Because of the presence of Vasudeva and Devaki and Kunti and other senior persons in the Yadu dynasty, Krishna and Balaram didn't reveal their real feelings in front of them. And instead, they ran to Nanda Maharaj and they fell at his feet. And although Nanda Maharaj wanted to pick them up and embrace them, His body was shaking, and he couldn't control his emotions. And he just sat there and just cried. And then he saw Vasudev and the others. And when they saw him, they said, "Oh, Nandamaraj, may you live very long." Nandamaraj couldn't speak to them. His voice was too choked. And then finally, recovering himself, he made Krishna and Balaram sit down near him. And with a choked voice, he asked them, "How are you? Is everything okay?" Krishna and Balaram had their hands folded before Nanda Maharaj. Many other different people were there, Vasudev and Devaki. They came and they embraced Nanda Maharaj. "Nanda Maharaj, it's been so long since we've seen you." And he began speaking to them. And then Krishna and Balaram snuck away. And they heard that in a nearby cart that was covered with cloth, Mother Yashoda was sitting inside there, surrounded by different lady friends. Krishna and Balaram went there and they made some sound on the outside of the cart. "Mother, Ma, can we enter inside?" And Mother Yashoda just began crying. Krishna and Balaram came inside. Mother Yashoda, she looked like a creeper that had withered and died from lack of water, lack of seeing her beloved Gopal. But as soon as Krishna came on the path of her eyes, then her whole body became drenched. Just like in the story that we sometimes tell about the meeting in Prabhas, Prabhas Khetra, when Mother Yashoda saw Krishna again after such a long time, she embraced Krishna to her chest and she gave him a bath. Just as we were singing this raga, and this is called Triveni Rag. Triveni means a confluence of three rivers, the Ganga, the Jamuna, and the Sarasvati. And sometimes the devotees, they take water from that place and they give some abhishek to Krishna. And so in the same way that sometimes the devotees give a bath from the water of these three rivers to Krishna, Mother Yashoda was giving Krishna an abhishek in three ways. The tears from her eyes, which were drenching her face and body and which completely soaked Krishna's body, seemed like the waters of the Jamuna, which were coming down. They became blackish in the kajal around Mother Yashoda's eyes. At the same time, Mother Yashoda was embracing her kanu to her chest, and the milk from her breast began to pour. And that white milk resembled the whitest water of the Ganga. And at the same time, with the oil-like sneha, the affection of her heart, which couldn't be seen, she also gave Krishna an abhishek in that love. And that love of her heart seemed like the hidden waters of the Sarasvati, which no one can see. And so in that way, Mother Yashoda, she embraced Krishna. Krishna and Balaram at that time, they fell at Mother Yashoda's feet and they began to weep. Seemingly, Jiva Goswami says, obliterating themselves in tears. And this made everyone else who was present there also cry. And Mother Yashoda, she was wondering to herself, did they also feel some separation from me, like I was feeling from them? At that time, Mother Rohini and Devaki and the different queens of Braj, who'd never met Mother Yashoda, they came there. And Rohini and Devaki, they embraced Yashoda.
And the queens of Brej, they fell at her feet and they began to worship her as a mother of their husband. At that time, Krishna and Balaram, they saw it's an appropriate time to go. And they went away, and they went and they greeted each and every person who had come from Brej with love and affection. So long we haven't seen you. And with sweet words and touching their bodies in so many different ways, Krishna and Balaram relieved the intense pangs of separation that had been burning the bodies of the Brijbasis. And what to speak of the Brijbasis? Jiva Goswami describes Krishna's condition when he saw the old bulls of Brej. Krishna began to cry. And he went to each of those old bulls and he embraced them and began rubbing their bodies in different ways. And those bulls, they also began to cry in ecstasy. While Krishna and Balaram were greeting all the different residents of Brej, Devaki was having a conversation with Yashoda. And she told Yashoda, "You're such an amazing person. Even though they're not actually your children, still, you acted in such a selfless way. And you treated them as if they were your very own. With so much love. How can we ever repay you?" Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says that there's some purvapaksha, some hidden meaning in their language. Actually, Devaki was actually speaking in a very harsh way. Not exactly harsh, but she was indirectly telling Yashoda, "It's so nice that you love Krishna and Balaram, my sons. They're not really your sons." Jiva Goswami describes this also in Gopal Champu, that this was described by Madhukanta, the bard, the speaker of the Krishna's leelas in the assembly of Nanda Maharaj. And when his brother Snigdhakanta heard this, he understood the hidden meaning and he said, "What did Yashoda do when they spoke to her like that?" And Mother Kanta just laughed. She didn't even hear her. Mother Yashoda was just stunned in ecstasy, just thinking of Krishna and Balaram. She didn't pay any attention. She couldn't even hear the words of Devaki. And in this way, Devaki's pride became crushed to dust. And it became very clear who was the real mother of Krishna and Balaram. That it was Yashoda. Krishna is very intelligent. He greeted all the different residents of Vrindavan. And he made different places for them to stay. Different tents and temporary structures. And with his own hands, he constructed some of these places. But he didn't do that for the Braj Gopis. For the Braj Gopis, he sent Uddhava and Balaram. And he said, "You oversee the construction of some place for them and invite them there." Why didn't he do it personally? Because Krishna is Rasaraj. He's Rasik. He's very, very expert. And he knows the Bamyabhav, the leftist mood of those Braj Gopis headed by Srimati Radharani. He knew their feelings and what they're going to say. So he sent Uddhava and Balaram. Jiva Goswami describes this. And there's a purport. Why did he send Uddhava and Balaram? Because he knew the Brijgopis, their feelings
were hurt. Their hearts had been broken because Krishna had made a promise. Ayasye, I'll return. But he didn't return. And then he sent Uddhava with a message of love. And Uddhava said, very soon he'll return. But he didn't return. And then he sent Balaram with the same message. Krishna Purabhaja, Krishna's older brother, Dauji, Balaram, told them, I'll go back to Dwarka. I'll tell Krishna to return. He'll come very soon. But Krishna never came. Krishna knew those Braj Gopis' feelings had been hurt. And to show them that he'd never forgotten them, he sent Uddhava and Balaram to take care of them. So I went through about half the things I wanted to try to go through today. Tomorrow, we'd like to read a little something to you about the meeting between the Braj Gopis and Krishna. And what did they say to him? And what did Krishna reply? And what is the meaning, the very, very deep meaning of Krishna's words to the Braj Gopis, which externally looks like some kind of atmavidya or knowledge of the soul, some jnana yoga that he's speaking to them. What is the purport of it? And what is the deep meaning behind the reply of the gopis who told him, Ahushchate nalina nava padaravindam. This is a very special verse, which is also spoken by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the Rath Yatra in Jagannath Puri. And if we have time tomorrow, we've had a journey of the heart the last few days. Our first day, we were in Braj. And then we went from Braj to Mathura. And then from Mathura, we went to Dwarka. And today, we've come to Kurukshetra. And tomorrow, we'd also like to visit Kurukshetra. And if we have time, we'd like to visit Jagannath Puri and speak something about the very mysterious connection between Kurukshetra Leela and Puri Leela. And what is that? And we'll stop there. Srila Prabhupada ke, Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ke, Gopremanande Hari Hari Bo, Vancha Kropatarubhishcha, Kripa Sindhubhyeva cha, Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo.